Lift up your hands wherever you are. Kerebados. Manta Karabados, Sita Baros, Kalhain Tarabados, Sutubara. Holy Ghost.
Roh Adonai.
The power and the presence of God is here already. The fire of the Holy Ghost is here. Touching lives, touching hearts. Mantoro Barakata Para, doing the impossible. The power of God is here. The person of the Holy Spirit himself, the third person of the Godhead, is here doing mighty works. Doing mighty works. Working in the lives, in the hearts, and the families of people. Moving gravestones. Marabades. Madamibadam.
Yeshua Adonai.
Marabadibadam. We worship your awesome presence, O God. Without you, we can do nothing. Without you, we can do nothing. We need you more than ever before. We ask that you take preeminence tonight and do what only you can do. And when you have done what you want to do, Lord, take the glory. Take the glory. Take the glory. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a powerful hand clap as you sit in his awesome, mighty presence. Thank you, my friend. Please don't go too far. Hallelujah. I need a minstrel with me tonight. You know, I love this house. I love this church. By the grace of God, this will not be the last time you will see me. Even if you don't invite me back, I will sneak in and sit in the gallery just to enjoy the presence and the atmosphere. You know a great house, and you know when a house is an apostolic hub. You know, there are many people who call themselves apostles today, and they like the appellation. But we know real apostles when we know them, because in apostolic hubs you have diversities of giftings. You know, you have the apostle who can flow in various giftings. You have apostolic teachers. You know, please put your hands together for that. I mean, when teachers teach, they make you want to go and read your Bible again. When he was talking, I said, is it the same Bible we are reading? One Lord up, one Lord down? Or was I the only one feeling like a novice? And I've been to 3 Bible schools, but I was still like, hallelujah. Amen. And then you have apostolic evangelists, apostolic pastors, and apostolic prophets. And, you know, tonight I'm going to do what I can do. You know, by God's grace, I have a teaching grace, but my first calling is prophetic. And, you know, like the apostle said, they said, what I have I give unto you. Rise up and walk. I cannot give you what I don't have, but I can definitely give you what God has given me. And tonight, God is going to give you prophetic fire. Turn your Bibles very quickly with me to 2 openings. I want to just once again say, you know, that over the last 2 or so years, I've been threatening to come to Makurdi. And Apostle has been telling me, said, wait till we finish our building. I said, no, I don't want to. I want to come to the old building. Because I am a believer of the fact that why wisdom is found in the most desolate places. This is the way the Bible put it. It says, the wise men sought Jesus when they saw his star. Jesus was not yet the full-grown Jesus doing the miracles. But where did they seek him? They sought him in the manger. Wise men still seek Jesus in the manger. Most people want to associate with greatness when it is done. I wanted to be a part of that small building to see the manger. But we thank God, you know what? I believe very strongly that not too long from now, this place will be your junior church. It will be your children's church. Not that we are looking for mega ministries. That's not so much the issue. What we are saying is that the kind of traffic that will come into this place will be so massive that you will need more space. Somebody say, make room for me. Say, enlarge the place of your tent. Turn your Bibles very quickly with me to two openings. We're going to do some action tonight. I have a peculiar way of ministry. What we're going to do is something to similar to what I'll call it a mini breakthrough night. Okay? It's Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 5. And it says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Tell somebody next to you, say, my day will soon fully come. And for some people, your day is tonight. I say, for somebody, your day is tonight. And he says, and suddenly, somebody shout a suddenly. I see a sudden miracle coming to somebody's house. I see a sudden testimony coming to somebody's family. And then he says, and there came a sound from heaven. Tell somebody next to you, say, I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. Say, I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. Heaven is about to pour out a phenomenal blessing upon my life. The power of the Holy Ghost. And it says, and as of a rushing mighty wind. Which means a number of things were happening. And then the heavens opened. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. I prophesy to a number of people in this place, as many as can believe it, that the Holy Ghost will come upon your life. It will come upon your house. It will come upon your ministry. And it will come into your family. In the mighty name of Jesus. And he says, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. Somebody shout fire. Somebody shout fire. And it sat upon some of them. Is that what he says? Is that what he says? What does he say? It sat upon each. Somebody say, fire is coming on my head. Ha. It sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with what? The Holy Ghost. How many of them were filled? All. Tonight the Holy Ghost is going to fill you afresh. It's going to fill you in a different way. It's going to fill you up. And you will become fired up. And it says, and they began to speak with other tongues. After tonight, somebody who had entanglement in his tongue is going to begin to have unfettered eloquence. God is going to give somebody supernatural prolific speak. Somebody here, God is going to give you, as it were, eloquence beyond measure. God will put his words in your mouth. The things you could not do before, you are going to begin to do. In the mighty name of Jesus. And then he says, and the Spirit gave them utterance. God is going to give somebody utterance to write books. God is going to give somebody utterance to sing new songs. God is going to give somebody utterance for apostolic evangelistic crusades. If you are that person, shout an amen. God is going to give somebody utterance to take their city, take their nation, dispossess nations, dethrone principalities, bring down powers in families, in the mighty name of Jesus. And it says, and there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. The key point here is that people gathered from all over the known globe at the time in one place. Now, God is a strategist, and he does not do anything by chance or happenstance. He chose a particular day that people will come from various nations of the world to come to celebrate Passover, and 50 days after Pentecost. Men from Libya, men from Italy, Rome, Cyprus, Spain, as many of you have gathered from various nations of the world here, from Kenya, Uganda, Zimbabwe, South Africa, United Kingdom, and other parts of the world. God is a strategist. You came here thinking that you came for an ordinary conference, but you came here for an infilling. You came for an empowerment. You came for something that when it comes upon your life today, listen to this, when you get back to your station, they will not recognize you. And then it says in Acts chapter 28 verse 3 to 6, this is our supporting text. It says, but when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire. Somebody shout fire.
Fire.
Shout fire three times. That's what's coming upon your life. Holy Ghost fire. It says, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hands. So when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hands, they said to one another, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he has escaped the sea, yet justice does not allow to live. Anybody that has said anything wrong about your life, after tonight, God is going to change your story. God is going to change your reputation. What they thought about you, God is going to give you a testimony that will speak otherwise in the mighty name of Jesus. Some might have thought you were a murderer. Soon they will say that you are a life giver. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Then he says, but he shook off the creature into the fire. Somebody say, I shake off any creature upon my life. I shake off any chain, any entanglement. We shake it off. And then the Bible says, and he suffered no harm. Anything sent against your life to destroy you, I decree and declare that even if it bites you, you will suffer no harm. No poison will be able to obliterate your life. In the mighty name of Jesus. However, they were expecting that he would swell up or suddenly fall down dead. But after they had looked for a long time, they will look for it a long time. Those things they try to do against you, listen to this, they will look and wait. And you will only get stronger. You will only get better. You will only get wiser. You will only get bigger. God will make you stronger than your enemies. And they saw no harm come to him. In spite of what they tried to do to the church in Nigeria, listen to this, the church will only grow stronger. It will only get bigger. It will only be more potent and more precise. In the mighty name of Jesus. Then they change their minds. Tell someone to say they will soon change minds about you. And then they said that he was a god. Listen to this. Isn't it interesting how fickle human beings are? One day they call you a murderer, and then the next day they call you what? A god. This is why you should never be bothered or distracted by what people say about you. Because God is about to make you a sign and a wonder. Yeah. Heavenly Father, we pray by your spirit that tonight, in this short few moments that we have, show yourself strong. In the mighty name of Jesus. The point of my deliberation tonight, I'm following on from what I started earlier today when we started concerning walking with the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about the fire of the Holy Spirit. Somebody say fire. I believe very strongly that, you know, God has sent various ministers from with various giftings and various mandates to do different things to our lives. At this conference, it would be sad if you came to this conference and only took notes. It is important for you to take notes, but it is more important for you to take note of the notes so that you can become notable. Notable in the sense of, not in the terms of men, but notable as in that you become a weighty person in the realm of the spirit. You can't come to this kind of place and go back a weakling. You shouldn't, let me put it that way, come to this kind of place and go back ill-equipped. The Bible says that the apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers are given what? For what? To entertain us. Is that what it says? No. For the what? Equipping of the saints so that we can go back to our various homes and stations to do the work of the ministry. But let me say something. I learned something over the years. As much as I love various parts of the scriptures and all of that, and I love being, you know, nice and calm and all of that, I learned that we cannot do much without the fire of the Holy Ghost. Is this making sense? We cannot do much except we have the fire. There is a difference. Apostle Gideon said something. He says, you know, the Holy Spirit is the proof of life. And, you know, I mean, many years ago when I first gave my life to the Lord Jesus Christ, I saw a sign that says, I am a living proof that Jesus is real. Are you a proof that Jesus is real? It's your life. And I'm not talking about whether, you know, you now have some new car, they promoted your job. Unbelievers are getting promoted, even better than you. But what I'm saying is that, are you such an amazement, such that you become a sign? A sign is something that points to a direction. Where your life points to Jesus, and are you such a wonder that when anything happens, people open their mouth and they wonder what happened, like this building. What I'm trying to say to you tonight is that there is something about the fire power of the Holy Ghost that if we don't have it, listen to this, we become a ridicule to unbelievers. Look, thank God for excellence in Christianity. Thank God for people who can dress sharp and their ties are like this and they speak, you know, that is my considered opinion, and they dot their eyes and cross their teeth and they are articulate, eloquent, and all of that. But if they don't have any firepower, they can be shish kebab, or in your own words, kilishi or suya for the enemy. What am I trying to say? It is dangerous to go around life without fire. Without firepower. Thank God for policemen. Policemen in England don't carry guns. You can't try that in Nigeria. Especially if you're on Abuja Kaduna Road. In fact, you become a candidate. So, what I'm saying essentially, you are a policeman. And it is dangerous for you to walk around saying, I'm a Christian, without firepower. If not, you will become, as it were, a candidate for the enemy. But I prophesy to somebody tonight who came here fireless, you are living here fireized. In the mighty name. Bad English, but good philosophy. I said earlier that, you know, in the earlier service in the morning, that God showed me that this place is a quiver full of arrows. Which means that arrows will be shot from this place into Mali. Arrows will be shot from this place into Algeria. Arrows will be shot from this place into various places. And if you are not part of this particular church or network, regardless, you're watching online, listen to this, that if you tap into what is happening in this place, that you yourself will become an arrow. But then, when I went back and I was waiting on the Lord and preparing for tonight, the Lord said, it's not over. They are not just arrows. That when warriors fight with arrows, real warriors, that they don't depend on just the precision and the sharpness of the arrow's point, or, you know, the point of the arrow, that many a times they light it with fire, so that if even if they supposed miss their target, when the thing penetrates near the target, the fire will spread. And so God said to tell you that don't just leave this place as an arrow. Leave this place with fire on your arrow. So that when you get to your target, hey, everything in sight will recognize that they have been extinguished by the fire of the Holy Ghost. Are you here tonight? Listen to this very carefully. There's something about locations, as in places. There's a place, many of you might not know, that per SGL team, before he left Bradford, God told him that he was calling him to a place called Elisha. And he had never heard of it before. He heard the Holy Ghost tell him that. To the point that before he left, he named his dog Elisha. He had a dog in England called Elisha, and he named it Elisha. Long story short, Elisha was his abode, his territory. That's where he lived and he died. Now, the interesting thing about Elisha, many of the great strong men that you know of today, in here, they used to visit Pa Elton on weekends. Pastor Adeboye, Pastor Kumuyi, Archbishop Idahosa, Joseph Ayobabalola, and co. They visited Elisha. I want to tell you that Makodi may soon be the new kind of Elisha. Hey, nobody should feel bad about their own location, because Ilorin too produced a lot of giants. Pastor Adeboye also lived and worked in Ilorin. He came out of that. I'm not sure if it was Kumuyi, Reverend George Adeboye, and so. I mean, many of you know of Brother Billy and Connie. People come from far and wide to go to Gboko to be equipped. And I believe very strongly that the same is going to be said about this place. Now, you need to have fire, because the Bible says the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, isn't it? Is that what it says? Is it the spirit of man or the spirit of God? The spirit of what? Man is the candle. And then the Bible then puts it this way. It says that, and with which he lights the inward parts, isn't it? So if the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, that means the spirit of God is the fire of the candle. And so if you live your life fireless, then you will live your life in the dark. I told you something in the first service, or that's in the morning, that there was in 1990, I gave my life, 1990 to 1991, I was a virulent and metastatic Christian. Very potent, praying all the time. Then my fire went. We leave the story alone. If you were not here in the first meeting, go and listen to it all over again. And then I said that I came in contact with one young damsel who quenched my fire. I thought I didn't do anything with her, but the Lord said his standards for me were much higher. I didn't sleep with her or anything, but I was lingering like Lot. All Lot's wife did was she looked back and they lingered. For the next 18 months, my fire was out. I did not realize even how much more the fire had been quenched until one day somebody invited me to Redeem Camp. I was in the Badu Adisa. I didn't know anything about Pastor Adiba. I didn't know anything about Redeem. I didn't, And the person said, "Oh, please come for," and begged me, "Please come." I was like, night vigil from 6 o'clock till 6 a.m. What kind of vigil is that? What am I looking for? Anyway, I went. When I went there, as I stepped on the supposed campground, that was the time when it was, those aluminum sheets. Yeah, the first, very, very first campground. Maybe there were about 40,000 or so. I was looking at the place. I said, "What's this? It looks like with benches." I said, "This is not." As I stepped on the ground, I saw a vision. I saw a vision of an old kerosene stove that had, as it were, if you went to boarding school or you ever cooked with a stove, you'll find that after you've cooked for a long time, if you don't clean it, you will have all sorts of dirt on it. And this stove had dirt on it, and it was fireless. And I saw flies on the stove. And as I settled down to understand the vision, God said, that is what your life has been like. That your life has no fire, it has accumulated debt, and all sorts of demonic entities are hanging around your life that they don't respect you. And then he said to me, you step on this platform today, I didn't know, he said, that your fire will come back. I prophesy to somebody in this place who has lost their fire, who has lost their power, as you step into this conference, after tonight, your fire shall be restored. Your fire will be restored. Amen. But you know what? There's something about fire that we need to be careful about. Especially, Pastor Adeboye used to say this. He said to us, there are different ways to catch fire or to make fire. You can either, in those days, make fire in the bush with stones or sticks and whatever. That's a very difficult way. You can try to make it yourself, which means you can get it directly from God. Or you can climb to a high mountain, or rather tree, that in those days in the bush, they will look around in the farms, who has fire? And then they come down, and then they go, and they go and collect fire from there. Listen to this. There's no pride in Christianity or ministry. Anywhere there's fire, me, I will go and collect. Whether you are big or small, It's not about anything. It is about whether you have fire. Ask your neighbor, have you got fire on your altar? And this is why I must say to you, Remnant Christian Network, that you and I have a responsibility. It says this in 2 Samuel 21 verse 17. You know, when I was coming here and praying, this is the word the Lord gave me for you, apostle. It says, but Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, came to his aid and struck the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David swore to him, saying, this was what happened. Enemies, because David became strong, people, they started to target David, say, kill that guy. It's like Messi. They tell about 4 or 5 players, mark that guy, that one. What people don't understand is that the more God begins to lift a man of God up, the more we need to pray for him. The more we need to guard him. The more we need to protect him. And then, I have a personal responsibility. I've told him. I don't know. God just put it on my heart. To just watch over him one way or the other to the best of my ability. I'm a very busy person, but anywhere I see his preaching, I will go and listen to the message. I will also check the people on the whatever. If I see any gangster there, I will call him. I say, this character, please be far away from him. Apart from the Holy Spirit's witness, some of us are privileged to know some things. Now, of course, I am not the Holy Ghost. Does that make sense? I submit it to him for his own testing. But that is how we should be. Why? Because if anything happens to him, listen to this, to raise up men of God like this again, it will take another 20 years. And this is what the scripture says. It says, you shall not go out no more with us to battle, lest you quench the lamp of Israel. When somebody has fire, real raw fire, listen to this, do everything in your power to protect that pastor, your pastor. Is this making sense? Pastors are not perfect too. No. But you see, if anything, I'm not saying be a psycho fan. No, what I'm saying is that do everything that will such that his fire will not be distracted. Also, protect your own fire. Bill Johnson put it this way. He said, God lights the fire on the altar, but it is the priest's job to keep it burning. God's expectation of us is that when he gives us fire, we are to fan the flames. The Bible says that we should fan the embers of the gifting that was given unto us. Bill Johnson further went to say, God always starts revivals, but it is men who usually stop it. The man who stop the revival is the man himself that has the fire, who becomes lethargic or complacent, or the people around him who use their mouth to kill the revival. Are you here tonight? So very quickly, I want to share with you, if the Lord permits me, 7 characteristics of fire. Because what is the point of saying you have something if we can't identify it? And if the Lord gives me time, if we have the time, I will, as it were, minister to you by the fire of the Holy Ghost. The first thing about fire is that fire exposes. If you have fire, you cannot say you have fire and you will not see what is hidden and about to destroy you. If indeed you have the fire of the Holy Ghost, which came upon the heads of the people in the book of Acts. Listen to this. The Bible says in Acts chapter 28 verse 3 to 5, but when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire. Tell your neighbor, be careful when you gather sticks. Be careful when you gather friends. Be careful when you gather leaders in your church. And you put them, as it were, in the committee. And we bring them around you. A man or woman without fire who chooses leaders, listen to this. You think you are picking up sticks. You might not know that you picked up a snake with the sticks. Even Jesus gathered 12 sticks and one of them was a viper, Judas. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. But if Jesus, fullness of grace, as it were, had one that was a viper amongst him, how many do you think you will have amongst you? And you can't do anything with the viper. The vipers are part of the equation, as it were. But what is important to note is that don't be so undiscerning that you call a stick a snake or a snake a stick. Does that make sense? May God open your eyes. Look, listen to this. Many people's ministries have been short-lived or cut off because they did not have the fire of God's discernment to expose what the enemy sent into the camp. Many churches, England, do you know England? John Wesley, what we know as the man, they had fire. When you go to England today, the churches only have like 3 or 4 old women in one big church. And if there is even church there, they don't believe in God anymore or the Holy Spirit. Many churches have become gyms and swimming pool and flats. What killed those churches? It is that they once had fire, but then the enemy infiltrated the camps, into the choir, into the intercessory group, and the various places, and they were like blind Bartimaeus. It is my prayer that God will open your eyes and give you fire. Amen. Paul spoke about wicked and unreasonable men. He also said, he was able to identify and said, mark those who cause division amongst you and do what? Avoid them. What am I trying to say? Listen to this. Love everybody. Okay? But be discerning. I mean, one time in our ministry was almost destroyed by one or two miscreants that the enemy seeded in the ministry. That brought discord, lies. It was through a revelation that God showed me, what was happening. And that was how we were able to nip it in the bud. And we realized that the enemy was trying to quench our flame, to discredit the church. Hallelujah. You will not be discredited. You will not be brought down. With the fire of the Holy Ghost, one day I was sleeping and God gave me a dream. And I saw somebody stealing my watch from me. And I was wondering, what does this mean? Long story short, as I was trying to understand the interpretation, the Lord just showed me and said, one guy that I trusted so much had been stealing from me. Thousands. Thousands. And I would never have known. He had my PIN number, everything. He had ripped my... He stolen so much. In fact, the level of damage he did is only... I'm talking about almost 15, 16... Oh no, 18 years after that we are recovering from it. May God give you fire. Fire exposes. Fire does not just expose people, it exposes plots. If you have the fire of the Holy Ghost, it will expose plots. Like what we see concerning Paul and Agabus telling him that where you are going to, they want to kill you. It exposes plots. I remember going to preach at a place called Milton Keynes. And while I was ministering, there was a gentleman. Like I said to this gentleman, I was actually looking for him all night. Please, don't go without us praying for you. I said to they just showed me, I was ministering, and all of a sudden, I said, come. I see an accident happening. I just saw it happening. And then, as he came out, I said, where is your father-in-law? And he looked at me, I said, she's in Nigeria, blah, blah, blah. I said, we have to pray for your family. We prayed, and we will pray for you by the grace of God tonight. We prayed for the gentleman, but we were trying to close the service quickly, so it was a very quick and a brief prayer. You will not believe what happened. After the service, 30 minutes after, the guy ran back into the church, crying. I said, what happened? He said, Pastor, he was shaking. He said, what you said is true. It was true, it's true. I said, what? He said, they just called him that his father-in-law just had an accident and is in coma. Which means it was happening during the service. I can tell you so many stories. And I believe that Fire exposes, but we have a responsibility to do the needful. Because when you have revelation, there has to be adequate intercession. Is this making sense? Fire exposes plots. And I prophesy and pray that every plot of the enemy will be exposed in your life. Amen. There was another gentleman, as it were. I was praying. I just woke up one Sunday morning preparing for church, and I saw the face of a certain man in church. I knew I'd seen him before, but I didn't know his name. And the Lord said, look for that guy and pray for him. So I went to church and I asked all my pastors. I said, do you know this guy? You see, it's a difficult thing when you know a face, but you don't know the name in a big church like this. Like, also, while I was praying today, I saw some people's faces, but I don't know anybody here. So I'm going to do my best to look for your faces if I can find them. You know, but the Lord will help us. And I got to church and I said, look, we need to find this person. Nobody. I said, he was at the couple's retreat. He was with his wife. Anyway, I forgot about it. Preached Sunday service. But at the end of the service, the Lord just told me, don't leave until you lay hands on every member of this church here. And I was like, I'm tired. But you have to obey the Holy Spirit. And I began to lay hands one at a time. I'd even forgotten about who I was looking for. And then one lady came out, and as she was coming out, God said, don't touch her. Don't lay hands on her. Ask her, where is her husband? She just looked at me, went to the back of the hall, the very, very back, and came back. Who did she come back with? That gentleman I was looking for. And he was smiling. I said, nobody should leave until I pray for them. No, not one. For her to have come to the front to be prayed for with her husband, which means the husband had no intention of coming. Meanwhile, it was because of him God orchestrated that whole thing. So I said to him, I said, gentleman, I said, you are going to die. He was smiling. I said, if we don't pray for you, and we don't do certain things, I said, you will die. It's not that I want to kill you. That's what I saw. The guy was smiling. Do you know what? He did not come back. He did not see me after the service. He went. 1 month later, I was coming back from Nigeria. I arrived Heathrow Airport, went to the toilet. As I came out, one woman just jumped on me and grabbed my, like the Mary Magdalene. And she grabbed my, I started crying. I said, who are you? She said, I'm sorry. Pastor. I told him to come. I said, what are you saying? He said, you told us to come. We didn't listen. So she's just coming from Nigeria. She's just been called that her husband was driving. Yeah. He just was about to resign from his work to start business. He's just opened a restaurant. He's 49 and he was going to turn 50 the next week. And that they just built a house in Ibadan. That's where she went to furnish the house so that, you know, they can begin to start to move, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, on his way to prepare the place for the restaurant, was going to open that weekend. Somebody came out, hit him, and then they started to fight. And the guy punched him. He fell on the ground and he went into coma. At this stage, he had not died. We did all our best. 3 days later, he passed. What am I saying? Look, people will say, but why did God had done his own part? God is what? Merciful. Fire exposes. And listen to this. I know very well that this church is a fire church. I know your pastor is a fire pastor. Yes, I know. That is what one of the things that attracted me to him. That is not just an articulate preacher, but he's somebody that has the fire of the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the other gifts. But you know what? Leave the other gifts, so give me fire. Give me prophetic fire. Because it protects. Are you here? Fire reveals problems, real problems. Wives, you need fire. It's not just for pastors. Husband, you need fire for your children. No? I was praying one prayer. Oh, I need to manage my time carefully. I was praying, And we were at a, you know, I had intercessors in my house. We used to pray every other day like that in my house, you know. And as we were praying, I just told them, stop, please. Can we stop this church prayer now? Let's start praying for I need you to pray for my children, my sons, now. And we prayed. And they didn't understand. I said, I don't know, but let's keep praying. 10 minutes after the prayer, I got a call from my son's school that they needed me to come now. Why? He was playing rugby. Rugby is a dangerous game. And somebody hit his head with his head here. His eyes almost popped out. The thing was so big, it was almost as big as an egg. The doctor said it's just a little bit that the bone here would have fractured and punctured his eyes. If we did not pray, what would have happened there? Fire is not not just a privilege for pastors alone. You need fire for your children. Wives, husbands, you also need fire. But fire can expose what you don't even want to see. One woman had a dream because of fire. Because after tonight, God is going to release fire. Do you want the fire? Yeah. You are sure? You will see some things though. The fire came. And she had a dream and saw a phone number. When she saw the phone number, she wrote it down and was like, what is this? And she put it in her phone. And she wrote stranger as the contact. One day, the phone rang and stranger came up. When she picked up the phone, it was her friend. She was confused. It was later on, her husband came to tell me that he had had two affairs. He told the wife about one of the affairs. The thing almost damaged her. And told me, he said, Pastor, I can't tell her about the second one. No. I said, why? He said, because he's her best friend. I said, you have to tell him one time or the other. You may delay the shock now, but one way or the other, she will still get shocked. She did not know. Eventually, he told the wife, and the wife said, no wonder that number she wrote, the number she knows that she has wasn't the number, another secret affair number. And when that lady called, she said, stranger, the Holy Spirit was telling her, this person with this number is having an affair with your husband. It is my prayer that God will send fire over your life. Any viper around you shall be exposed. But fire will also expose the viper in you. That amen is not as loud as the first one. Fire, it reveals the root of problems. You see, I trained as a medical doctor, and it has its advantages, and many times its handicap. Sometimes it's not good to know too much. I was invited to preach. My wife and I are married counselors, so I was invited to preach at a what we call a couples retreat, one very notable ministry. We used to go there every year, and then they gave us, my wife and I, 10 minutes or 15 minute slots for couples with critical problems. Now that's a tough order. The ones he couldn't solve during the normal long whatever, he gave us 10-15 minutes to do express counseling. Long story short, there was this particular couple. They've been married 11 months. What was the problem? They had not been sexually intimate. I asked all sorts of questions. Do you have pain? The guy said, anytime he approaches her like this, she starts running away. For no reason. I said, is this dyspareunia? Is this endometriosis? Is this uterine something? Is this polycystic ovarian syndrome? Is this so-and-so? Is there a hymen with a something, whatever, with pelvic spondylosis, though, something. So, I then asked another question. Were you ever sexually intimate before marriage? Yes, many times. I said, it can't be any of the spondylosis, something, something. This one is another problem. But we didn't have time. Thank God the time was up. So, we just ran into this, whatever. That was my escape route. We ran into the teaching session. And I was just teaching on ordinary communication. Simple, you know, be angry but sin not. All those kind of things. And in-law and all of that, finances. And as I was walking through and teaching, just walking, didn't touch anybody, the power of God hit this lady. She jumped on the floor and started writhing on the floor like a snake. And a man spoke through her and said, we will kill her. We will destroy her marriage. Couples retreat turned to everybody scattered. And myself and the pastor went there, we cast out the demon. What am I trying to say to you? Listen to this. I would have referred her to doctors, psychologists, counselors. Maybe there was some trauma, a depression. The fire of the Holy Ghost revealed the root. I pray for somebody here. You will not grope in the dark. The fire of the Holy Ghost is coming upon you to expose everything that has come to destroy or disgrace you. This is actually number two here. But all those ones are one of whatever. But we stop where we stop. Number two. Fire does not just expose, it destroys. It is the light of the fire that exposes, that shows there's a snake here. You can actually have prophetic grace and unction that reveals. I found out when I first gave my life, I was always sins. I was seeing witches, I was seeing this, but after a while I said, how am I always seeing? You see and you can't do anything about it. So I now said, God, give me not just light, give me heat. Because the fire can expose it, but it is heat that what destroys it. Tell somebody, so you say, Holy Ghost, give me heat. For sake of time, I'll say this very quickly and, you know, carefully. One Christmas, about 15, 16, 17 years ago, one young girl in our church, one of my darling members, she decided on Christmas Day to go out instead of eating Christmas, whatever, giving food and things to the poor on the streets, the homeless. Is that not a good thing? As she was giving the things to the poor, all of a sudden, she said a strong wind blew. It was like dust entered into her nose. She breathed it, and then she suddenly shouted, yeah, not out. I told you in the first service, there is yay and there is ouch pain. When the person says ouch, the pain never reaches. She shouted yay, and then listen, it got her head severe pain. Started vomiting. Doctors, once those their classic signs, her eyes were blood, and she started vomiting, projectile vomiting. So doctors would say that that's what you call raised intracranial pressure. Something had started growing in her brain. They had to fly a helicopter ambulance to take her, lift her to the hospital. So they called me to the hospital about 2-3 days later. She had lost sight in one eye from this thing. They did that time CT scan, and they saw a mass, a black mass sitting on her brain. The neurosurgeon could not understand how or where it came from and how it could have happened suddenly like that. I said, this neurosurgeon doesn't know that they are village people. So, when I got to the hospital, you know, and she told me this, and I, to be honest with you, I'm not proud of it. I repent. When I said, wherever this thing is coming from, whoever sent it, I send judgmental fire on that person. That what? Return to sender. I said it. Months later, the lady called me and said, please don't tell anybody this. But my mom told me that her cousin in the village, all of a sudden, around the same period, suddenly shouted, "Yay!
Yay for yay!
Not ouch for ouch!" "Yay!" And she went blind in her eyes and rushed out and began to say, "Please, call the neighbor. Please, call so-so-so and beg her for me. Please, call out. Beg her for me. Beg her for me." She died. After those times, I don't pray anyhow. Again. Because I realize that with my calling is judgmental fire. May God give you judgmental fire. But may you not use it recklessly. Fire liberates. Fire liberates. I told you we have breakthrough nights and we go from city to city as led by the Lord for the last 6 years. Go to Canada. We don't hardly know anybody there. We just put our tent, blah, blah, blah. You know, people come and we enter into the miraculous by God's grace. Go to Houston, the same. Go to Lagos. We just finished last Friday. And this time around, we were in Houston for the first time. It was a very tough one. Long story short, I went around. I will usually go around while worship is going on, just praying. And, you know, on a normal night, I don't have that privilege tonight. I will walk through the crowd. And as, like I said, I'm looking for people that God has shown me. And I walked past one gentleman and I heard "Owo." But I didn't think anything of it. So at the end of the service, I now said I was going to pray for everybody. Lay hands on, and I started laying hands. Now, there were two ladies who I knew personally. One of them actually went to medical school with me. She came and brought her sister. As I laid hands on her, she fell under the anointing in a particular way and manifested a particular way. I laid hands on the other one. That one too manifested a particular way. And I heard "Owo" as I laid hands on this lady. I said, "I know both of you are sisters. You come from Lagos. What does that have to do with "Owo"?" The lady stood up and turned back and pointed at the man behind her. The same man I walked past earlier that I didn't know, and I heard "Owo." He said, "He's from "Owo." I said, "What is he to you?" He said, "My husband." As she said, "He's from "Owo," my husband, the guy was looking at me like this. They forced him to church. You know, that guy, look, my, so what? As he was doing like Goliath, I heard, actually, this was a vision. I saw a vision of a crown fall to the ground and two people fighting for the crown. And I described it. I said, "I see a crown in front of you and two people fighting." The guy started crying like a baby. Not small cry. Yes, from Goliath to David. He began to cry. I was like, "Stop now." He said, "Oh." I said, "So what is it?" And then he said, "What I just saw is his name in Yoruba, Adeju Igbe. Two fighting for the crown." And God began to show me about his struggles and the challenges that he had been, that his name became a prophecy. There was a fight for a crown in his family that cost, I'm keeping some things discreet because we're on YouTube, and then he had to run out of, they took him out of, like Mephibosheth, out of Nigeria to the U.S. to protect him. And from the age of 10 till then, or something like that, he had been there in the U.K. for U.S. for 22 years, no status. He could not work, he could not do anything, he was struggling. And then the Lord told me to tell him that the fire of God will liberate him. 22. I gave him some prayer, and then I said to him, I said, "This is September. I said, before the end of this year, your story will change." His 22-year immigration status that confounded lawyers. The lawyer, his solicitor, called him and said, "I don't understand this. I have never seen it before. This defies every law and immigration policy in whatever. They called you to say they will give it to you. But just so as to follow protocol, normally they should deport you. So they will, in a sense, officially deport you. So which means take a plane and go back to whatever, but apply on that side and we'll give it to you. Because we can't break our law." He came back, got his whatever. He's now a full American citizen. He now ends If God first got a job, got another job 3 times more, get another one 5 times more. I mean, the guy is something else now. There's somebody in this place. You've been on a long-standing bondage. It's defied everything. I prophesy that after tonight, you are breaking out. I prophesy that after tonight, you are breaking out. I decree and declare that after tonight, you are stepping out of that bondage. What number is it? Number 4. Fire reveals. Fire reveals. You know, I think it's better, rather than have, what's one of the best cars around? A Range Rover with all the spec that does not have headlights. You see, when it is without headlights, it is useless, isn't it? I would rather have a broken down Volkswagen Passat that is tooting and just managing itself with headlights. This is the power of light. Because if you drive without headlights, you will crash into things. Things will crash into you. You cannot see what is coming. If you are a Christian, you need headlights. You need prophetic insight. You need farsight. You need to see things that are coming. The Bible says, I have set you as a watchman over Israel. When you see the sword coming, it says, warn the people. By grace of God, I have a prophetic mantle, but one of my key mandates is the watchman prophet. From the early days of my Christianity, when I didn't understand anything, 1990, May 1st, I had a vision. I had another vision, August 17, where I saw an ostrich with his head buried in the ground. Long story short, ostrich gave birth to 12 children in the desert. And I saw from afar in the desert, people coming from Arabia, Libya, those Algeria, coming with whatever it is. At that time, there was nothing, not any of these things that we are seeing here today. They came in and tried to break into the ostrich's circle. They couldn't. Then all of a sudden, things started to weaken around the ostrich. And then they started taking the ostrich, the children, and cutting their necks one by one. I didn't know he was talking about Boko Haram. 1990. It was when September 11 happened that it first made sense. When they said where the nations, those people who did that thing were from. Saudi Arabia. I said, it's those same nations that I saw. The church needs fire. Every home needs fire. I saw another vision of a man, you know, on the river, like this. Lying down, you know the what's the name of that thing now? The coat of arms. There's a Y on it. It's supposed to be River Niger, River Benue, going down to the tributaries at the Delta. And I saw somebody like Jesus lying down on each of those arms. And I saw blood shed. It was like blood was going through the rivers. And then God told me that, I said, something is trying to disunify the nation. And it is only the blood of Jesus that will speak for it. 1990, August 17. Fire reveals. It is my prayer that the Holy Ghost will release fresh fire on every single individual. Amen. On every single church represented here. Amen. In every single home. Amen. Number, is it 5? Fire protects. Fire protects. The Bible says, Psalm 105 verse 15, touch not my anointed and do my prophets what? No harm. When I first gave my life, and I went to, my dad was so upset. He threatened me, did everything, wanted to disown me. The archbishop at the time, Archbishop Adetiloye, was his very close friend. He took me to the man and he said, this guy, turn him back to Anglican. After the man had my story, he said, God bless you, my son. You've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. My dad was so upset. And so he couldn't do much. And then he said, one thing, you can do whatever you want, but in this house, you must never pray that stupid language that you pray. What that thing is, don't ever pray it in this house. So, I mean, who should you obey? God or? at the risk of him kicking me out of the house, I was praying underneath my breath in my room. So the way I prayed that prayer, I was afraid that by the morning this man would have heard me, because my dad was very strict. So I came out creeping. That way I Shola, I heard you pray. I didn't hear anything. We waited. He would usually come out early. He hadn't come out. So I went, entered his room. He was lying down, holding his throat. His throat had swollen like this overnight. There was one big lump on his throat and he could not talk. He just wrote, "Take me to the hospital." You can laugh if you want to. It's okay. I couldn't laugh there, but you can laugh. Yeah. When the doctor looked at him, he said, "Where did you get this thing from, sir?" He said, "They called it Ludwig's angina. It happens in less than 1% of the population. And it has no known cause." How did Ludwig's angina find my father's throat the night before he threatened me? The angel of the Lord came to show him who his true father is. Who his son's father is. That if you touch this boy, and Ludwig's angina is such that the thing, you can't cure it. It keeps growing. And many people choke and die on it. So they just took him into the hospital and were just observing him. The next time I came to the hospital, I just brought a Bible and I said, "Can I put this here?" He then wrote on a piece of paper, "Please pray for me." So I now had license to speak in tongues again with fire. Somebody say fire! Fire transforms. I think I will end with this so that I can have time to minister. Fire transforms. And what this essentially means is that, listen to this, fire will transform. Transformation means that something is in one state, then the fire comes, and then it becomes another state, isn't it? The Bible says, let's put it this way. Wax, candle wax, is solid, isn't it? Under fire, it becomes liquefied. So, fire changes things' forms. If you take meat today and put it under fire, it will not remain, it cannot return to that same thing. The same way, for sake of time, I won't look at the scripture, but I will say to you that, listen to this, the Bible says that Samuel told Saul that the Spirit of God will come upon you and you'll be what? Turned into another man. I prophesy to 75 people in this place that after tonight, the Spirit of God will come upon you like fire and you'll be transformed into another person. Somebody in this place, you see, Saul walked into the life of Samuel, a donkey seeker. He went back a king. Somebody came into this place seeking for something. You are going back to your nation a king. You are going back to your industry a king. I end with this. One day I woke up and the Lord told me that there, today, just go to church and declare that anybody that has polycystic ovarian syndrome should come out. I'm going to heal it. It's a disease that affects women. It's about hormonal imbalance. Many a times they develop all sorts of things and then they are not able to have children. Some might have one, but they don't have children after that. So when I did that, about 5, 6, 7 ladies came out. And I said to them, I said, "Is there anybody here who wants a child?" And I said to them, actually, I said, "I will pray for you that God will heal you. But when he heals you, he will give you a child. He will give you children." If you don't want children, please don't say this prayer. because you will have children. And the Lord, by His grace, as we declared, that by this time next year, you will hold your children. Two of the women who said the prayer with me, within a week of each other, 1 week, conceived. The second one, the next week, conceived. Now, the first one, if it was just one, you would say it's a fluke. But what are the chances that two women within, after not being able to conceive for years, what hit them? The fire of the Holy Ghost. Precisely 1 year from then, first Sunday of the month, two of them dedicated their children. The women that were called barren, when the fire of God came upon them, transformed them into fruitful mothers of children. I don't know about you, but there is somebody here that in the next few minutes, the power and the fire of God is going to be released upon your life. Stand up wherever you are, lift up your hands and begin to worship Him. Where's my praise and worship leader? Hallelujah. From the rising of the sun, Carabaros,
to the setting of the sun, your name is to be hallowed. Adonai.
Carabaros,
from the rising of the sun to the setting of the same,
your name is to be,
your name is to be hallowed.
From the rising of the sun,
from the rising of the sun
to the Savior,
to the setting of the same,
your name is to be,
your name is to be hallowed.
A miracle. Within the time I have, I'm going to try and minister as much as I can. But I want to pray for the most important thing. If I can't touch the others, I will deal with this. If you have been having dreams of death, or you have a sense that, just come out very quickly, or you have a sense like as though death is following you, one way or the other, or something like a shadow, come out quickly, come out, come out. The fire of the Holy Ghost is here. Very quickly, quickly. Sake of
love the same.
Your name.
Your name is to be hallowed.
From the rising of the sun.
Your name is to be
the reason why the Bible calls it the shadow of death. When light shines to its fullest, yeah, at the right angle, shadows disappear. The sun, not S-U-N, the sun will shine so brightly now. His fire will so shine that any death
in and around your lives will disappear. Lift up your hands wherever you are. In the name of Jesus, the fire of the Holy Ghost, from the top of your head down to the sole of your feet, wherever you are, you dark spirit, we command you in the name of Jesus, be removed. Loose your hold in the name of Jesus. Loose your hold in the name of Jesus. Okay. There's quite a number of people here, but it's okay. It would have been easier to navigate. That gentleman with the checked whatever. You. Do you know you have a call of ministry on your life? Did you know that? You know that? How do you know? Sorry? Christ appeared to you. Are you a pastor right now? Come out. I saw, your own case is not demonic. Yours is divine. Your case is like that of Jonah. You know. That's how Jonah was. He knew. He said, throw me out. I'm the one. The assignment of death is that you are not in your calling. All God told me to tell you is that when you go back to that assignment and you submit, death will be far away from it. In fact, you have a mantle to deliver people from the jaws of death. Jehovah Adonai. You, this lady in orange, you are not married yet, are you? Apart from the death matter, what the Lord said to tell you, you came out for one thing, is that whatever you do, wherever you go, you will marry a pastor. Is it a bad thing? Oh, I have to move fast. You will marry a pastor. Yeah. It's a good thing. Amen. If there's anybody here, is there anybody here that they had a dream where they were beaten by a snake in the dream? If that was, just put up your hands quickly. Quickly, come to the center here. Quickly. You'll be hallowed. I hear something like Chris. Who's Chris? Chris. This Chris also has something to do with a Jack or Jackson or something like that. Who? Huh? What's that? No. This Chris has something to do with Jack or Jackson. No, this Chris has something to do with a Jack or Jackson or something. Do you have a connection with a Jack or Jackson?
Yes.
Who?
Yeah.
Who? You are Chris. Come. Were you part of these people? Were you out here? Can you come here? Quickly. Just stand here. Come.
Is to be.
God, you too have a call of God upon your life, but there is something in your family that attacks the mind. Insanity. Yeah? True or false?
Yes, it's true.
Do you know nobody? Oh, well. You have a calling of God. You know too.
Yes.
As you walk in the calling, there's something that attacks your family, and the plot or the plan is for you to go mentally insane at some time. But the Lord said to tell you, you just walked into fire.
The grace.
When you walk into fire, nothing can touch it. I don't know how involved you are in this ministry. You need to get into fire prayers. Because what took your uncle, what made him go, is looking for you. But it will not find you. Let's give the Lord a powerful hand clap. Give him praise. Go to him.
Your name is to be hallowed.
I don't have a lot of time. I'm just going to say one. I'm going to focus on ministers a bit now. Does anybody have any connection with Benin? Benin? Republic of Benin? Is that where you're from? You're there. Come. I hear a pastor's name, like something like either Undukwe or Undu something. Undu. Is there a name like that?
Your name is to be.
Stand here, please. Then I hear a name like either Sylvanus. Then I hear Elvis. This Elvis. This is amazing. When he was taking photographs later, I noticed the whatever. You came out from that place as well. The Lord was telling me on the seat that you are more than a photographer. You have an apostolic assignment. I didn't say you are an apostle. I said you are more than. The Lord said, as I was sitting down there, I was just going around. I said, this guy doesn't know it. That an anointing is going to come upon him that will take him. Elvis. Is there another Elvis? From another nation. Where's Sylvanus? I pray for you guys, but for sake of time. Apostle, you have one son. You have a particular son that's supposed to be a fiery preacher or something like that. He does a lot of Holy Ghost fire. I saw his face earlier. Rabaros. Jegereba. Siteka Anta. Who? Which one? Oh, prophet. Okay. No, it's not him. But we work with what we have. Ah. I'm trying to. I want to locate this person if I can. I want to locate. Stand up, please. There's somebody I'm supposed to pray for that I need to. Okay. Is there an Elvis from Ghana? Is there anybody you have ministry association with in Ghana that has a name something like that? None. Okay. Who are your ministry sons in Ghana? Who do you preach for? Who have you preached for in Ghana? Elvis in Ghana. Somebody should send this word to him. God wants to distinguish that Elvis from all others. God wants to give him a unique ministry. There are many, many great men in Ghana, but it's going to be the NAFDAC of Ghana. It's going to be the NAFDAC of Ghana. And God is going to use him mightily, but there are all sorts of attack that he needs to brace up. He needs to brace up. I will not say too much, but he needs to brace up. He needs to brace up. There is one of your sons. I will just give the word. I will locate him later. This son of yours is supposed to be on fire. Supposed to be. And he's already traveling the nations.
And the Lord said to tell that gentleman, you should not go to Kenya yet. And you should not go to South Africa yet. The Lord says, he's at a stage in his ministry where he's taking on everything and anything. The Lord said to tell him that the next class in his life is divine restraint. He has been saying more yes than no. God is bringing him to the place of no. He's gone to South America recently. He's coming to a place in his ministry where he has to say, what's his name? Where he needs to say more no's than yes. Because there's something called premature exposure. And sometimes a baby might think it has the strength to come out, but it needs to develop something called surfactant before it is fully pushed out. This is to preserve his life and his ministry. Oh, my time is up. God bless you. This gentleman, lift up your hand. Lift up your hand, this gentleman. Lift up your hand. The Lord says he's going to pick you up like one who is orphaned. And he says he would raise you like a father does his child. An unusual anointing is coming upon your life. An unusual anointing is going to come upon this man. You will have fire in your bones. 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 There's a song God is putting in your heart. I don't know if you have anything to do with the music ministry. Do you? Come. But you look like an usher. Is she an usher? Uh-uh. So, that's confusing. Well, explain that. They remove you from music. You are troublesome. You are pregnant right now. What? What? Long story. We don't have time for story tonight. As she was standing there, I saw angels singing over you. God is going to give her a voice and a song. You will write music. Not just sing, you will write. The anointing of Darlene Sheck is going to come upon you. Now, I didn't say pastors. Can all the assistants to pastors lift up your hand? You are an assistant to a pastor. Lift up your hand wherever you are. Okay, I'm going to do this very skillfully. Can I ask you to please line up here? Is this the man? He's even dressed like a preacher. Where was he? Tell them to tell you what I said afterwards. Go and listen to the message. See, my father in the Lord used to say this. He said, if a vehicle is a trailer, the more reason for it to have brakes. If a vehicle is what? A trailer. A small Okada that does not have brakes cannot do much damage. That's the principle of restraint. And if in your life you don't have the natural restraint, you know, a lot of what I preached in the first service, I mean, was about forbidding. Forbidding did not permit. A lot, it was to protect me. What I'm telling you is what God told me about me many years ago. There's a time to wait. There's more in you. Let me give you a test. Do you think you are ready to go and do ministry where this guy is doing in Cotonou? I'm just asking you a question. Where there are no lights. where the occult, that army is the belly of the serpent, isn't it? Or is it Cotonou? Until you are ready for that kind of ministry, go back and prepare. This is not to stop you, it is to protect you. Apostle Paul went to Arabia. There's a reason why he went to Arabia. And until the time, listen to this. Oh, I need to be careful what I say. Where are my assistants? Please just stand here. Thank you very much. This gentleman, are you a pastor of a church, sir? Where's your church? A fellowship. Where was it before? In Abuja. Were you ever a part of this ministry? Okay. I'll come to you later. Are these all the assistants? Okay. I called all the assistants out so that I know who I should call to speak to. But I am being wise. Every assistant in this place essentially serves a senior pastor. Yeah? Okay. Now, what I see is that God is putting a sword in your hand. Come, I'm just using him as an example. God is putting a sword in your hand. And that sword can either be used like this or like this. Does that make sense? When you use it like this, when people are fighting your pastor or speaking against him and whatever, you use it in defense. When you face this way, you can use it too. Does that make sense? Now, please hear me, and I'm not suspecting anybody. That's not what I'm doing. I'm just saying that at a time in one's ministry, you will have the opportunity to either do this or to do this. When that time comes, stand like this. Stand like this. Stand like this. Your leaders are not perfect. And when you do that, you'll be sowing something in your own ministry. Give the Lord a powerful hand clap. There's somebody around there. Your name is something like, I just saw Ikechi or Ikechi or something like that. Ikechi. Where? Ikechi. Come. From the rising of the sun
to the setting of the sun.
I don't know what you do now. But do you know you have... Sorry? Where were you? How far? Where? That region. Stand with him. I don't know which one of you it is, but stand. Where are you? Ikechi? Stand there. I don't have time to... Just come and stand here. Stand here. Stand here. Okay. For sake of time, if we had more time, I would drill down, but that's not, you know. One of you is going to be like Nathaniel Bassey. In the next 5 minutes, I'm going to try and shut down. One of you is going to be like Nathaniel Bassey. You may not be into music, but God is going to raise you and blow through you. When one of you came, you kind of confused me a bit, but I'm speaking to you. Because as you stood in front of me, I saw you walking with people in high places. God told me that, I don't know what you are doing now. If you follow him closely and you serve him properly, yeah? I don't know what you do in church, but you have the anointing to serve governors.
leaders at that level. Listen to this. Be faithful in the little. God is about to raise you. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a powerful hand clap. God is healing. I don't know if you have an ailment in your body, whatever part of your body, just touch it right now. You have an ailment in your body, just first of all put up your hands quickly. God is healing. Madam, whatever the doctor said, we cancel it.
Amen.
We cancel the disfiguring of your cells. And we curse cancer to its root. We curse that blood disease to its root. In the mighty name of Jesus. We decree and declare that in the name of Jesus, life is beginning to speak into your body. And your situation will change forever. There's somebody here that God is healing you from a stroke. God is healing you from a stroke. I actually see diseases of the blood vessels. There's an anointing right here, right now. Healing what we call deep vein thrombosis and diseases of the blood or the blood vessels. Right now, right now, right now, right now. In the name of Jesus. And then also, whoever they call barren, if you are believing God for the fruit of the womb, I want to do this quickly and then I move. Just lift up your hands wherever you are. Name is, just come this way, come to this side of the, very quickly, quickly, quickly. Kadabados.
Rising up.
Just stay where you are. Just stay, don't come up, please. Just stay there. Stay. Quickly, 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 so that we can close. Hey, where are the husbands? If you don't have a husband, though, it's illegal for you to come here. You have to, for your sister. You can stop. From the rising of the sun. From the rising of the sun.
Hey. To the setting of.
Your name is to be hallowed.
Your name is to be hallowed.
I saw the angel of the Lord bringing seeds of babies and putting in wombs. Seeds of babies and putting in wombs. And I see, listen to this, within the next 9 to 12 months. In fact, some of you are going to conceive this weekend. Within the next 9 to 12 months, there's going to be a sound of babies in homes here. This mark today, this altar will be full of dedication from these places. Dedication. Dedication. There's somebody that has a connection with Philadelphia in the U.S. Who's that person? Quickly. Yeah. What's your connection? Yes. Okay, lift up your hand. Are you connected, both of you? Okay. Lift up your hands. Father, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we use her as the point of contact for that person. And we say we will not hear any bad news. In the name of Jesus, we release the spirit of life over that person. In the name of Jesus. And we also release the grace of intercession to pray for that person. In the mighty name of Jesus. I've not run out of prophecy or anointing. I just want to honor the time. God bless you. Thank you very much. Hallelujah.
Your name is to be hallowed.